praise his name. Let's stand together. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is so good to, Father, be able to rise in the morning and feel that stir in our hearts. Lord, it's time to go to church, Father. Time to gather together, Father, around your word, with your spirit amongst us, and to hear you speak to us personally, Lord, right to my heart. Father, and to direct me and guide me. Reveal yourself to me in a greater way, making my path more clear here on earth, Lord. Father, it's your grace and your mercy. I do appreciate it, and I know everyone gathered here does. For, Lord, in keeping your word, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Bless us now, Lord, each and every one. May your will be done in the service, every phase, every song. Lord, just may it all glorify you. Precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be out this morning? Amen. Every opportunity we get, saints. Praise his name. Page 101 in our Only Believe books. Ever since I've learned that song, saints, it's a beautiful song. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gave. Save in the day. shed for sins. Amen. Page 188. Right along with this one. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love him. Amen. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name.
Bye. So wonderful, saints. So precious. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Amen. I guess it's a missionary offering today. That's the blessing of the will.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. You have your way. Bless us, sir. Bless us all.
Of course, he is my everything. Amen.
He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything. Oh,
something on your heart, a need, a request. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it may sound strange, Father, but it's a privilege to be able to come before you in prayer with a need. Lord, the opportunity to show to the world your attributes, Father. Lord, we understand that's why we're here on this earth, to see your attributes, to see you, Lord, in action, Father. You're as a healer, a redeemer, a savior, provider. Lord, you're all these things. And Lord, if we wouldn't have walked this earth, we wouldn't know that. But Father, as we do, Lord, your revelation has placed, Lord, faith in our hearts that we may reach out and claim those promises that belong to us, that you've paid for and given freely. So, Lord, we ask that every need upon the hearts of the people, whatever they may be, we ask that you would just touch them, meet them, Lord. Lord, to the abundance of your mercy and grace. And Lord, and Brother Philip, Father, you know their need, what's going on and everything about it, the purpose behind it. You know all things. Lord, we just hold it up before you and claim it, Lord, and look forward to hearing, Lord, your works. We love him, Father. Lord, we just pray that your will be done. Lord, now as we go through the remainder of the service, we ask that you would have your way. Lord, everything be done to your glory and honor in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Want to look like a special? Amen. All right, let's just stand again, I guess. Sing a little chorus. Only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Prayer this morning that are sick and afflicted, and just want to remember brother, our pastor, Brother DeLong and his family, and Brother Philip, and I know Glenn and Melissa, one of their little girls, is not feeling well. We want to remember them, and Sister Eloise, and Brother Josh and his family's not here. May we uphold them, Brother and Sister Asamba. They've requested prayer, so we know God's able to meet the need, and let's just take it before Him now as we go before Him in prayer. Precious Lord, we have come today with great anticipation in our hearts. Lord, each time we get to walk through those doors to come in and fellowship around your precious word, it should bring such an excitement and a joy in our hearts. And Lord, though we may be few here today, Lord, we know many are listening in through the way of the recordings, Lord, that's able to be been provided. Lord, we just pray for those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, you know the need that's needed in their body, and Lord, you know each one and what they need at this morning from you, and we commit it into your hands. And Lord, asking you that you would touch them and strengthen their bodies. Lord, knowing that their desire was to serve you, Lord, and to be here with us this morning. But Lord, we just ask you to touch them and raise them up. And Lord, those of us that are gathered in here today, Lord, may we sit intently, Lord, and as we just listen to your precious word and to read these scriptures, Lord, and a couple of these quotes, knowing your word is inspired, Lord, and it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, you put it here for our admonition. Lord, may we be able to take something from it. Each one is an individual, Lord, that would help us in our walk with you. Help us to climb a little higher this day, we ask. And we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Won't you love him?
Amen.
It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, or 11th chapter, rather. Amen. Hebrews 11 and the 6th verse. Just read that and then have you be seated. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I was just meditating on the Lord this morning and kind of something to bring, and the Lord laid these scriptures and a couple quotes upon my heart, and just praying that it'll help someone along their way, strengthen them in their walk. It's nothing big, but just something to think about. And as we know that he is here this morning. There may be only a few of us here, but he said where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in their midst. And he's not a myth, and he's not a legend. And you know, if you stop to think about it, what a great honor and privilege it is to be here this morning in his presence. knowing that as we have this His Word laying before us and the Holy Spirit anointing here, realizing that we have the same opportunity to commune with Him as Abraham had, sitting under that shade tree, and many others down through the Bible. We see He's the same today as He was yesterday and shall be forever. We may not be able to speak lip to ear at this moment with Him, but yet He's Holy Spirit. He has a way that He deals with our hearts and a still small voice, and we know that He's speaking to each one of us. And as we open up His precious Word and knowing its Spirit and its life, knowing it's inspired, may it strike our hearts in a greater measure. But as I was thinking about this, we each gather in here this morning to service, and people were gathering all over. And even last night, being the first of the year, many people were having watch services and things. But why do we gather in this morning? You know, as we come and we gather around God's precious Word, each time we come, we should come with such a reverence and such a respect. But realizing we're not just coming to an empty building. We're not just coming to a church. We're not just coming to be seen, not just to come fellowship with people. But we're coming God's provided way. It's the way He set an order for us, and He told us to come together and assemble ourselves, and He would meet us and be in our midst. And through that, He promised through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. And as we gather in here, we realize we're not coming here looking to a certain church, looking to a certain man to lead us or to guide us. But we come here for one thing, looking for more of Jesus Christ, looking for a greater understanding and a more revelation of His precious Word, and asking Him to impart to our hearts as we sit underneath the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit, Lord, what is my portion for the Word? And oftentimes people don't get what they're seeking because they don't approach God in the right manner. And they come looking for different things and in different ways. And I'd like to read some examples this morning. If we go back here, let's just start here in Mark, the 10th chapter, a very familiar scripture. We'll read this first. In Mark 10, 17 to 22. Oftentimes people gather into services and the church because they know there's more there. They see things and they see what's going on. Maybe they see feel the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. They see people that are living Christian lives, and that's wonderful. But we must remember it's an individual affair, and we each one must make sure that we have all of Jesus Christ. But here in Mark 10 and 17, we'll find Jesus speaking here. He said, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt down to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and saith unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And this morning, as we each one gather in here as individuals before God, we have all come seeking something from the Lord every time. And this morning, and is no exception, every day we come, we're looking to Him because we realize He is the only giver of true eternal life. And as we come in to seek revelation and to look and set under the precious anointing, I want you to notice this young man. Brother Brandon many times pointed out how this young man could say he had truly kept all of those commandments from his youth. But yet he knew Jesus had something that he didn't have. He knew there was more to him. He knew there was a higher place and a longing to get there. But when Jesus told him what it took to get to that place, he went away sad because he just couldn't bring himself to pay that kind of a price. He just couldn't. It was just too much of a problem to give up that of himself. And oftentimes that's the way it is with, we want to go to church, we want to be Christians, and we want to hold on to so many things this world has to offer. And we want to keep, and we see it all over throughout the land. We see many men and pastors that want to hold on to their religion and preach this message, but want to go home and watch their ball games and get into the football and follow all the worldly things that are happening. And race cars and all this is happening around them. They can't give up everything to follow him. And Jesus many times said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And as we come here this morning, and every time we gather in around God's precious word, or any time we open it to read it at home or begin to study it, why am I reading it? Am I just reading it because it's what I'm supposed to do, or it's what I've heard I should do? Is this young man here, he knew what all those commandments were, and he had kept them from his youth, and he'd done a wonderful job. But yet he knew in himself there was a higher place. He knew he lacked something that he needed. And when he came to Jesus and he found out what it was, he just couldn't afford to go that extra mile. And you know, that's the biggest thing with a lot of people. They want what God has to offer, but they don't want to pay the price that God has set forth. To lay down your life and to give up of your own self and to seek him with all of your heart and to seek ye first the kingdom above all things, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But we see this young man, and we want to look at these examples of these people came to Jesus, recognizing that there was something there, recognizing that he had what they needed, but yet at times it was just too great for him. But let's turn here to John, the third chapter, real quick. John 3. And first verse, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannotest tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And then Jesus went on to explain it to him. But I want you to think about this. Even Nicodemus, when it came to him, I want you to notice how he approached him, knowing you're a rabbi, we know you're a teacher sent from God, for only no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And oftentimes that's how we look at the prophet in this day. Many people realize he was a man sent from God. They realize his words that he was speaking and the actions that was taking place in his life, that it wasn't a man, only God could do those things. But when the word began to go forth from his mouth and the messages began to come forth, then it was, oh, he didn't mean that. Oh, I don't think that's quite right. How can that be? That he must have not meant what he said there. They fail to realize that when God begins to speak, God means exactly what he says. And we can go back through this Bible and see every time God ever spoke through a prophet, he meant exactly what he said. And it came to pass exactly as he said it would. And how it should catch our attention when we can begin to read the prophet's messages and we see the life that must be applied in this day. The token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an option, and it's for each individual. It don't matter how old I am, how young I am. It don't matter what my name is. I must be born again. I must be filled with the Spirit in my life, reflecting the life that Jesus said would be reproduced in that little bride of Jesus Christ. And it's not up for suggestions of I hope I am, I think I am, I want to be. But where is that longing? Look at these examples. Is Nicodemus and this rich young ruler, they both come to Jesus seeking the answer. What is it? And how that should be our greatest desire as we come in these doors seeking. Maybe I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but maybe I need something more. What, Lord, what's the next move? What's the next step? Do I come seeking? every time with that reverence, that honor. Lord, what do you have for me? What is there, Lord? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? But then maybe the word comes to show me what needs trimmed off, what needs to be moved. But then I want to reserve myself and, that's too much. I can't give that up. We're individuals before God, but we must realize we're coming down to the end of time and time is fixing to run out. And each one of us are responsible, young, middle-aged, and old, and it doesn't matter. We must be certain that we've come God's provided way. And we must realize we have to repent of our past sins. We must be baptized, and we must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be born again. And to truly let God have control of our hearts and of our lives. For without revelation, it is impossible to please God. And no man can even see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. And without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't even understand what truly the God is looking for out of his precious word. And how it ought to be in our hearts to long, to seek for these things, reaching for higher heights. It doesn't matter where you are in life. There's always a hunger that you take, as the Bible says, we grow up as calves of the stall. Their cow never stops being hungry. He never stops wanting to eat. You give that, anytime you pour out grain, it'll eat it. Anytime you throw it fresh hay, it's going to eat it. There's a thirst and a drive in that cow to continue to consume and to keep growing. And that's the way it is with a Christian. When they become looking, they're seeking, there's a higher height. But oftentimes people get so satisfied and just, they go seeking and they get to where they come to church and they're satisfied with, I'm just going to church. Then they'll maybe get to a place where they're satisfied that I've cleaned up my life and I'm doing all these wonderful things that I should be. I don't cut my hair as a sister and I wear dresses. As a husband, I'm keeping myself looking nice and taking care and making sure that I'm trying to live a nice modest life and everything is matching up with God's precious word the best I can, and get satisfied without and lose that hunger of looking, Lord, what's next in my life? Lord, long as I'm in this life, you've got a purpose for me to be here. There's something you want to use me for. And Lord, am I seeking that every day? Am I looking for that every day? That Lord, what is that next step? And am I open to it when God says the word comes forth and I hear that precious word and maybe it pinches my toes. I see it's correcting me on something that I need to shave off, something I need to change. Am I open to it or am I like the rich young ruler and I just want to shrink away from it and say, well, that's just too much. That's too great of a price to pay. But we know the prophet in this age plainly declared that that life has to be displayed. The token has to be on display for all to see. That Jesus Christ is living. But oh, when you come to him and look at him and you're seeking, he is a rewarder. And let's read a couple of examples of that real quick here. Let's go to Luke 19. Many examples of where people came to the Lord seeking, and some went away dissatisfied, and some went away full of joy because they received what they were looking for. And it's all in how you approach him and what you're attitude is towards his precious word. But here in 19, we'll start at the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And I want you to think about that. Brother Branham dramatized that many times. And there's a reason the scripture said he was a man of little stature. And he needed, there was great, and the press was great. And to try to get to see Jesus wasn't an easy task for him. He had to go, look what all he went through to get there. He had to climb up in a tree just to see who he was so he could get a look at him. He had heard about him. He had knew of him. He knew what was taking place around him. And there was something burning down in his heart. He wanted to really see who he was. He wanted to get a look at him for himself. And he ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus had never met him. He had never met him. But there was something about it when Jesus looked up, he called him by name. Think of that. Zacchaeus right then knew. It struck him right there. Oh, this man is truly all that they've said he is. It's who he is. And he says, come down today, I'll abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they that saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. So I want you to think about that. Look at the change in Zacchaeus right out of the way. Soon as he realized, and the price was great, he knew what it was going to take then for him. He could see. But he was willing, a willing heart. And he went right on and he followed after it. And oh, what a change it made in his life. And how we as individuals before God, as we hear this precious word, do we just let it become word to us? And do we just let it become an option? Oh, it's okay, I'll get to that one of these days. No, we must have it today. We must be living today as he asks us to be. We want every word made real. We want everything in those precious word. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Look at all the word that's been left us. Look at all of the things that are in this Bible that we're required of. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's words in here for sons. There's words in here for daughters. There's words in here for parents. There's words in here for husbands. There's words in here for wives, brothers, sisters. All the requirements that we're to have to be what he wants us to be. It's laying in this precious word. Look at all the messages the prophet brought to show us and to reveal to us who and what that little bride would be in this last age. And do we meet the requirements? Can we truly look and say, there's no more requirement, I've got it all? Or do I look into God's precious mirror of his precious word and I see, Lord, there's more higher heights. There's another place for me. And am I reaching for that, or I just turn my back and act like I didn't see that place that I need to climb? Turn my back and act like it don't exist, that's not there, it's non-existent. But God is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth, and he wants to declare to this nation, to this people, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever through their lives. He wants the preeminence of everything we do, everything we say, he wants it to be Jesus Christ. That just think that that same life that was being projected through Jesus Christ, as it was projected through Paul, and we see it projected through our precious prophet. Look at the people that was drawn to it, because they knew that each one had something that they didn't have. And if you have the life of Jesus Christ pulsating through you in the sweetness and the kindness of the Holy Spirit, people will be drawn to you. They will want to rub shoulders with you just to be able to feel the presence that abides with you, not you personally. But it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that surrounds you. Brother Branham likened it to a mother, how she gets real sweet right when she's getting ready to have a child. And think about it, how that Holy Spirit's just surrounding you. And it's there, it's like honey. And when you get together with saints of like precious faith and you can feel that sweetness of the Holy Spirit one from another. And how it's so precious, the anointing of the brotherhood together. And just think of that. There's people that like to feel that. They can feel that off of you. But does your life's testimony show forth that, yes, I am a Christian, I go to church, but my life is expressing Jesus Christ, not that I'm just a churchgoer. I go to church on Sundays, and I go to church this night of the week, but all the rest of the time, I really could care less about anything that God's got or God wants. Where does my life show up today and what God is requiring of us in this last few moments of time? Let's turn over here to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Sometimes when you come in underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's not always pleasant sometimes. The Word of God can be cutting, it can be sharp, and sometimes it may strike at the very thing that we are holding on to, and we know it's striking us. We can feel it. That's just the way God is. Every time the Word comes forth, it feels like it's pinpointing you yourself. Every time the Word's coming forth, as I sit back there, I feel like the Word is looking right at me. It's looking right down into the very crevices of my heart. That's the great Holy Spirit. He searches the thoughts. He knows the reins. He knows exactly that all there is to know about us. And you can't hide under that great light. He just has a way of just spreading it over you. And you know what you need. You know what the Holy Spirit is trying to show you or convey to you. It's just the way God put it in order each time. But think of this little lady here in 1521. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Here she is seeking and asking for help, and he never even answered her. He acted like he didn't even hear her. She didn't have no claims on him. And here he turns to her and then says, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog, treated her horrible, it seems. Oh, what if her feelings would have got hurt right there? Well, you know what he said about me. That's all there is to it. But no, she was persistent. She didn't care. She had a need, and she knew she had a need, and she knew there was something that she needed and something she wanted, and she was persistent. She was going to stay with it. And she wasn't bound to give up. She wasn't easily offended. She stood right there, and she said, That's the truth. And sometimes that's where we make our biggest mistake, is when the word's coming forth, we want to hide from it. We want to shun away from it. We don't want to say that's the truth, whether we're right or wrong, and we truly see where we're standing, and maybe it's really pointing us down. Say, Amen, Lord, that's right, and I need that higher place in my life. And you watch God give the increase and help you with that thing, whatever it may be. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dog eats from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Think about that. How do we approach Jesus Christ each and every time? Do we just come in here thinking it's another service? We're just going to hear some word. We'll go out the door. It was another service. It was wonderful. Or each time do I come in praying, Lord, what is there in my life that I need greater? Do we know he's the giver? We've recognized that he's the giver of all things. We've recognized that he is the great I am. We've recognized that he sent a prophet in this age with a message. And we're listening to it and we're reading it and we can tell other people about it. But are we seeing the results that message was to bring in our hearts and in our lives? We as individuals alone can answer that. Each one of us before God. It's not for me to judge you or you to judge me, but to take God's precious word, each one of us, and say, Lord, I know what's required. Am I matching it 100%? Am I willing to surrender all of myself, Lord? Am I giving up all of myself and seeking after you? Or am I too ashamed to say, oh, I really should be baptized. I should repent. I should, or do I not ever think of it? Does it never cross my mind that I must follow God's provided channels? I must come God's provided way. We must find that place in Jesus Christ, each one of us as individuals. And as that word comes forth, we must be open to it and say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me, that's what I need. Take me another rung higher. Whatever it is, God knows our needs. He knows our lives. He knows our thoughts. He knows all there is about us. And he's looking for us to be ready. And it's not, you know, sometimes it's easy to look around and go, well, that person's doing it, so it's okay if I do this. Mommy and daddy do that, I can do this. Brother, sister does that, I can do it. That's not how it is. It's an individual affair. What has God showed you? That young man didn't come with his parents. He didn't bring everybody, all of his friends. Lord, we know. No, he come and he said, I know that thou art a good master. They each one as individuals recognized who he was and they came to him. And that's how it is as we come each time before him. We're coming as individuals. Lord, what do I need? What do I need more, Lord, in my life to be more like you? I'm seeking him each time. Are we truly seeking every day? Lord, I want to be more like you, more of you in my life. Is that our desire? I pray it is. This is in the message, Going Beyond the Camp, Brother Branham was saying, paragraph 31. He said, As I look and preach across the nation and watch people, I am fully persuaded that the people are not getting to Christ. And I believe it's the enemy that's thrown a hindrance. Because the reason I believe this, he is not an object that they have pointed to. They have either pointed to a dogma or a doctrine or a party or an experience or a sensation or something like that, instead of pointed to Christ the Word. That's why I think that people are resting their eternal destination upon some dogma, upon some sensation. Some say, I've danced in the Spirit, I've spoke with tongues, I felt fire run over me. And you know, all those things can be impersonated by the devil. There is just one thing that he cannot impersonate, and that's the Word. In the debate between he and Jesus, each time Jesus defeated him with, it's written, the Word. And I believe today that the reason that people are not coming to Christ is because they are appointed, many of them, to a denomination. Come join our church, read our catechism, or believe our doctrine, or some system of the sort. They are pointed in the wrong way, and their action in their life they live without Christ proves in their own life it's vindicated by that very thing. And how we see it, Satan is being so deceptive in this age, going around and it's just dance in the spirit. Long as you're shouting, long as you're this, long as you're doing these other things, long as you belong to our church, long as you believe Brother Branham was the prophet. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be a life lived through you as an individual. Jesus Christ taking control of every action, everything you think, everything word you speak, every thought, and bringing it under captivity to God's precious word. This was in the Message. Choosing of a Bride. Let's see here. Let's read this one first. This was in Investments, preached August 3rd, 1963. And he was, we'll drop down here, as he was speaking about the rich young ruler. He says, how could a man look down at his, let's see, it was thoroughly vindicated, and he wasn't asked just to invest in something that was a mythical thought or some cult. It was thoroughly identified what his investment was to be in. He could have said, no, I don't know about this, but you see, he called him good master, and he knew there was something, but yet he wasn't ready to take the medicine because Jesus had asked him to do something. And that's what does the hindrance among men today. They believe there is a God, and there is no man with good intelligence but knows there is God because he doesn't recognize. If he doesn't recognize God, the Bible plainly says he is not mentally right. He is a fool. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But if he believes there is God, but yet he is not willing to separate himself in the very same way that Jesus was asking this young man, young businessman, to make his investments, he saw something in Jesus that the other men never had. He saw there was something that Jesus had that those priests didn't have. He saw something that the rabbis, the teachers, none of them had it. But he recognized it in Jesus and recognized it to be God. But he thought, well, if I can come in, why, and not have to do all this, I'll go find out. But he found out there was only one way to come. And that's where the world has got to learn today. Christ is the way, not a church, not an affiliation, a denomination, as good as they may be. I have nothing against them in that manner. But you've got to realize that it's Christ in the new birth. And how many times people let men steal away from them what the new birth is by patting them on the back or telling them they're all right, letting them join this, building them up in a falsehood. But you as an individual must know that you have had that experience with Jesus Christ, and you know personally that he has called you to this glorious gospel, and that he is calling you to be a person, an example in this day, and a Christ and for him. And you can't go on what someone else tells you, what somebody else feels. It's got to be you as an individual living out a life before him just the way God reveals it to you. Many others may not see it the way you see it. It's an individual affair. Look at Jesus as he walked alone many times. They didn't see, they didn't understand, but as God revealed the word, look at the ones that walked away from the prophet when the God began to reveal to him the truth of the word and it began to be preached. They wanted no more to walk with him, no more. But we must be strong in the Lord and stand firm in the possession of our faith and stand without wavering and hold fast to those things that we know to be right and to be what God has revealed to us as individuals, and to hold our head up and to be exactly what he wants us to be. This is in the Message, Choosing of a Bride. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This was preached in 1965, paragraph 223. If we've got a feel in our heart tonight that we should straighten up our lives and the things that we have done, let me advise you as a minister brother. I'm going to say this for my first time over the pulpit. I've stretched out farther tonight on this than I have on anything else, anytime, anyhow, before the public, because I've had a great freedom in these meetings. If you believe me to be God's prophet, you listen to what I've told you. If there's one little tinkle feeling in your heart, you go to God right now. You do it. Stop just a minute, men. Look at your creeds that you serve. Look in your churches. Is it just exactly with the Word of God? Have you met every qualification? Say, I'm a good man. So was Nicodemus. So was all the rest. They were fine. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. And women, I want you to look in the mirror. Look at what God requires a woman to do and see in God's mirror, not in your church mirror now, but in God's mirror, and see if you could qualify in your life the spiritual bride of Jesus Christ. Ministers, think the same. Do you cut corners here to save somebody's feelings over yonder? Would you do this if it wasn't? And they'll put you out of the church. If you're feeling that way, my dear brother, let me warn you in the name of Jesus Christ, flee from that right now. And lady, if you can't measure up to the qualifications of a Christian, not as a nominal Christian, but in your heart and your life is patterned exactly like God's marriage certificate here says it has to be. And church member, if your church isn't like that, can measure up to God's qualification of his word, get out of it and get into Christ. This is a solemn warning. And how each one of us must search our own hearts and lives every day, making sure that we're not just being content to ride along and just, oh, ho-hum, I'm just here living my life and doing whatever. But God's got a purpose that he set out to achieve. And each one of us has got to see why we're called and why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing, with a revelation burning in our hearts and with a cry, Lord, I'm looking for a higher heights. I'm looking for that time to come when you will come and catch that waiting bride away, Lord. And I want to be ready. I want my garments spotless and white and ready. And every day I'm looking and seeking out your precious will and in your precious word, looking for that in my life. And may that truly be our true desire, not to get settled into a church routine or a church creed or, well, this is the way it's said, it can be done and it can be done. No, but look into God's precious word, and each one as an individual, be able to hold this up as our standard. Not any man, not any church or any building, but hold this word up and say, Lord, I want my life to be hid totally on the pages of that precious word, and to be able to find that each day that I know I'm pleasing Jesus Christ. May that be our greatest desire, saints. But don't forget, he's got a higher height for each one of us. There's a greater place. You don't have to, you know, it's such a peace and joy to know that you're in his care. And when you can truly see that he's filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and see your life change and see that what you used to be go away and what looking for a new, every day is a new day in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great joy and privilege it is to serve a living God. And how I pray each one of us find that place greater every day. Not to be satisfied to just be a human being living in this life, but to be a Christian every day of our lives, that someone would be able to see that light shine forth from us, declaring Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But oh, may it burn in our hearts, saints. A few words, but I pray it'll strengthen someone, help someone along their way. And God knows everything. He knows all about us as each one of us gather in. But each time we have an opportunity to come, remember, he's here. Every time you gather in around God's word, he said, we're two or three together, I'll be there. And he's just as real today as he was the day that he was the pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus. He's here to meet your needs and to reveal himself to you personally if you're hungry for him. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Pray we can take something from God's precious word. He is so wonderful. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. To me, he is so wonderful. Amen. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, because he first. you love him? He is so precious. Amen. As we bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here. And just thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll take my feeble efforts, Lord, and let the precious word have helped someone today. Lord, may we have been able to find a nugget or a quote or maybe something a little greater struck us from a scripture that was read. And Lord, may we continue to press like we've never pressed before. And Lord, to push forth and to make sure as each and every one of us, Lord, we're finding that place in you that you want us to be. Lord, help each of us to surrender ourselves greater to you and to seek out those things. And Lord, we ask you for revelation. We ask you, Lord, for a greater eye salve that we may see everything. Lord, don't let us be blinded by this world's cosmos and the things that may be looking greater than looming every day. There's situations and Satan's raising up new things to catch the attention of people, trying to draw them away and to take away the importance of your precious word. But Lord, may we stand fast and hold up a standard. And Lord, be a people that would truly be a representation of you in this last few moments of time. And Lord, we just want to remember those once more that are sick and afflicted, Lord, that you would just continue to touch them. Raise them up, Lord, comfort them. And Lord, just, you know each and every one in here, Lord. You know those that may have a special need or something on their heart, Lord, they're praying about. Lord, we ask you to touch them and meet them. Lord, help all of us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And Lord, bless us as a little body of believers together. May we draw that much closer together in love and unity, Lord, and do one mind and one accord that we would truly strive for the same goal. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen him, and encourage him, Lord. Lay upon his heart those things, Lord, that we need. For Lord, that's your provided channel, Lord, is to speak through those precious pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets. Lord, to bring us to the unity of the faith, the edification of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just want to be totally what you would have us be. And we ask it all now in the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday. Gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, teach me to take